Hey, all right, and if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you don't have a Bible, notes are coming around in just a second. They'll have the verses on there. And so, hey, why don't you guys thank the band tonight? Why don't you do that? Jake has been doing a lot of work every Wednesday night, and it's good to have Chris back and all these guys. So if you don't say thanks to them like you should, a good thing. So no announcement video tonight. So the announcement video is me. I'll be brief. There's really only like one really important announcement. So as notes are going around, like we can pass this out without talking. We can listen. And so the really important announcement is there's something happening Friday night and Saturday this week. Yes. That's right. It's not just career day. It's not your normal career day. And so, do you guys have career day at school?
Yeah.
Okay, sort of. Yeah, some of you. Is it good?
Yeah,
that's kind of interesting. Yeah, kind of cool to meet people. So, a lot of people have asked me, Matthias, is this going to be fun? Like, that's probably the number one question, because we've never done career day before, and so everybody's asking, like, is this going to be fun? And so let me just tell you, like, you are going to be with your small group the whole time, and so, like, if most of you, if you're just in the same room with your small group, you could be, like, reading the dictionary, and you would have fun. So this is going to be fun, and we are going to do some really cool activities. So Friday night, we're going to be here from 6 to 9, and then we're going to go home, or some of you guys are going to go hang out at your small group leader's house or things like that, and then we're going to wake up and we're going to come back on Saturday. So this will be a miracle. You guys will, like, come back Saturday. This will be great. And Saturday you're going to meet some really cool people, and the goal is not for them to just talk about their job. It's for you to get to know who they are, and I think they have a lot of really cool stuff to teach us. So it will be fun. It's free. We will feed you, and we will play some games. So, like, if you want to just go that route, like, this is good. But the hope is that this will be really helpful for you, like, when you're my age. You'll look back on this day and be like, yeah, man, that career day, it was amazing. Changed my life. So I say that jokingly, but I also say that seriously. Like, my hope is it'll really be helpful. And the other thing to tell you is, because we're having career day and it's with your small groups the whole weekend, small groups are not happening on Sunday night. They're happening during career day. And so if you come back Sunday night, the doors will be locked. We'll laugh at you later. So just come to career day, and it'll be great. So do you guys all have notes? This is good. We have them. Everybody's got something to write with. Do you guys know what a disclaimer is? Okay, it's like something you say kind of before you ask people to do something, or just to kind of, like, just to make sure it's okay what you're gonna do, or so you kind of know the whole deal. And so here's the deal. Two disclaimers tonight. Number one, I'm getting ready for career day, and so this kind of tonight feels a little bit like one of those days where you show up at school and you have a test and you're not fully ready for that. I kind of feel like that tonight. But God is good, and He will help. And number two, we're going to talk about something tonight that, as I get talking, some of you are going to be like, Matthias, we hear this all the time. We hear it from our teachers. We hear it, you know, like, from our parents. We hear it, like, on songs and the radio and you know, all this kind of stuff. Like you will just think that you hear this all the time. And what I'll say is that some of the ideas that we're going to talk about, you hear a lot, but you hear them in a way that is subtly different. They're actually talking about things that sound the same, but it's different than what God is talking about. And so Jesus, when He came, one of the things He talked about is He talked about that He was the light of the world. You guys know what light does? Yeah, it takes away darkness. And light, it helps you see. It exposes things. Like, you can see, like, what's reality when the light is on. And so, like, when we talk about God bringing light, he brings reality, or that we would distinguish between the subtle things in our world that are false and that we would see the truth. And we really need this tonight as we talk about this. And so before we get into 1 Corinthians 12, I just want to pray for us. I want to ask God to help us with that. And so I want to invite you to pray along with me. Why don't you do that? God, as we sing tonight, this hope that because of you, we will never be the same. And that's a good hope, that you will change us for the better. And so, God, we ask for that again tonight as we're here. We could be doing anything tonight, but you have brought this group of people here. And so I pray, God, that you would help us tonight, that you would do something in us that changes us for the better. And God, we need your help to distinguish what is true and what is false in our world and as we view ourselves. And so, God, help us to be honest. Help us to be open. I pray that you would give understanding to everybody in this room. Please, Lord Jesus, help us with that. Give me clear words that we can all grasp the truth about the great things that you have done for us. And so, Jesus, help us with that. God, thank you that you are real, that you're alive, that you are here with us and in us as we know you. In Jesus' name, amen. That's right. So, a few months ago, if you guys were here, there's a guy named Lee. He talked, right? Good friend of mine. A lot of you guys know him. And so, Lee showed a picture of me that night. This was the picture. I don't know if you were here. This is a picture. And so, as I was thinking about this lesson, I got to tell you a little bit more about this picture. Because this picture was taken on the night of, I would say, probably the best high school basketball game I ever played. And I played a lot of bad games. It's just the reality. It wasn't that I had a lot of great games and this was just like epically good. I played a lot of bad games in high school, and my team, we weren't that great. We were average. But on this night, it was kind of one of those times when everything came together, and it was amazing. We were playing Hood River, and Hood River at the time was ranked 4th in the state. In other words, of all the high school teams, our size of school, they were like the 4th best team in the state, and we were not ranked. We weren't even close to being ranked. This is just the reality for us. And we were playing Hood River, and we had played these guys. For me, I had played them twice a year since my freshman year, and this was my senior year, and so we had lost every time to them. And they came to Essicata, and we played them, and it was one of those nights where, everything just went right. And for me, played a pretty good game. It went into overtime. I made a couple big free throws in overtime, and we won this game. And it was one of those things where, literally everybody in the gym kind of stormed the court at the end of the game, and, all 30 of them, and we gave high fives, and we jumped around, and I remember, we went into the locker room as our team, and we kind of, man, it was just amazing. And then we came out, and when we came back out after, getting changed and everything, everybody was still basically there. That was rare. Usually you go in the locker room, everybody leaves, right? And we come out, and everybody's just kind of still hanging out and talking. And I remember, the newspaper guy talked to me. This was awesome. I got interviewed. And there was just random guys from Estacada, men. They would just come up and they'd shake my hand. That was so good. I remember I could tell you where I was standing in the gym, and one guy came up to me, and there was a girl that I was getting to know at the time, kind of liked each other, hanging out and everything. And this was her dad, and he was the principal of a school, and so he was kind of that kind of guy, right? Just principal of a middle school, I think, at the time. And so it was a little nervous because I liked his daughter, and so I wasn't really sure about this. And he came up and he said, "Man, that was such a great game, great job." She came over with her friend. She gave me a hug. Right? This was amazing. And so this was incredible. It was one of those days, I don't know if you have days where I got home after that game. And I was so excited, I couldn't settle down. Like, I couldn't lay in bed or whatever. And so I decided that I was going to call that girl. It was like 10:30 at night. And this was in the days where, like, not everybody, like, they didn't have cell phones, right? This is how old I am. And so when you called a girl, you called her house line. And at that time of night, what would happen is who would answer? Dad or mom, right? And usually the first thing would be, like, why are you calling at 10:30? And so I was like, but I did it. And I had been wanting to call her for a long time, and I was nervous and all that kind of stuff. But like that night, I just felt like, and so I called her, and actually it was her mom who answered the phone, and she said, yeah, you can talk to her. And so we had this amazing conversation, and it was like the best day ever. And I learned something that day. I learned something. I can't say if it was good or not, but I learned something, and here's what I learned. That I had some talents, some things, and they got me something. Like, I had abilities. There was things that I could do and some things that I could do better than most people. And because I did them, I got things for myself. This is what I learned. And I don't know if you've realized that in your life. I don't know if you look at yourself and you see like some of the things that you can do that nobody else can do, or you're pretty good at it, and you see these things and you know that they get you things like attention, friends, teachers like you. I don't know, like money. Things like this, like we realize that about things we can do, or maybe you realize that about other people where you look at them and they have something they can do and you would love to be able to do it. Like, you'd love to be able to play guitar, or you'd love to be able to do this thing or that thing, because people that do that, they get things, right? And so we see this and we come up with this idea. It's on your notes, just this common idea that says my talents and skills, they help me get things for me. And I learned that on the night that we beat Hood River. And in a lot of ways, this is true. And this is something that shapes how we look at growing up, right? Like, how we look at answering the question, what am I going to be when I grow up? How am I going to do that? How am I going to go from, like, sixth grade through high school into maybe college or a job or whatever I'm going to do? How am I going to do that to land somewhere where I have, like, a career or something that I really do with my life? And this idea tends to shape how we think about growing up. We look at ourselves and we think there's some things that I can do, some talents, some skills that I have, and I use those things to get things for me. How can I get the life that I want? How can I maybe get paid for this? Or how can I do this in a way that I'll get noticed? It's for me. And what I want to tell you tonight is there's parts of this idea that are really true, but at the same time it's incomplete, or there's some things that if we just think in this way, we miss something big. And thinking in this way is actually different than what we talked about last Wednesday night. See, I don't know if you were here last week. I know some of you weren't. But we started this series last Wednesday night that we're calling The Game of Life. And we're just talking about how it's good to grow up. Like God made us in a way that we grow up. This is a good thing that you grow up, move out of your parents' house, like be responsible, all this kind of stuff. This is a good thing. And what we're asking in this series is, how do we do this? How do we answer the question of what am I going to be when I grow up? And what we said last week is there's a common approach to this, or a common message about growing up. It's a message that says basically this: when you are 18, you need to have a plan of what you're going to do for the rest of your life. You need to have that figured out completely when you graduate high school. And this plan has to involve two things. It has to be something that you really, really enjoy, right? We use words like passionate about or whatever. Like, it's got to be something that you're passionate about, and it's got to be something that you can make enough money to have the life that you want to have. And usually that's a better life than you're growing up with. So you think, there's some things that my parents, they never could buy me or whatever, and so I got to have maybe a little bit more money than this. And this is how we approach growing up, and yet what we said last week is as we look out in our culture, we see things like seniors in high school who believe this and they graduate, and on their graduation day, the most common emotion is fear. Like they're scared to death. And college students who are midway through and they're trying to figure out what they're supposed to study and all that kind of stuff. And the most common emotion is pressure, depression. I still don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And then we talked about that you can go to the playground and you can meet parents who got everything that they kind of wanted for in terms of a job. And yet they're so busy, so stressed out that they don't even have time to play with their kids. And so what we said is we can see these things in our world. And so what we said is we actually maybe need a different approach. That maybe this message that says when you're 18, you got to have everything in your life figured out. And it's got to be something that you're totally going to enjoy for the rest of your life. And it's going to make you the money that you feel like you need to make. That maybe we need a different way to look at this. And what we said last week is that God actually has that way. That as we read the scriptures, as we look at people who met Jesus, there was something really common about them, is that meeting Jesus gave them a totally different way to look at their life. And oftentimes they did completely different things, right? Peter left his job fishing to fish for men, and Matthew changed his career, and Moses went back to Egypt, and David went from a shepherd to a king, and all of these kinds of things. We meet Jesus and we have a different way of looking at life, and what Paul said is this is the way. That he, that Jesus, he died for all, that those who live, those who grow up, those who know Christ and are alive spiritually, this is how they live. They would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And we talked about that this is actually a different way of thinking about growing up. See, in the normal way, or the way that our culture teaches us, we start to ask questions of, again, just what do I want to do? What would be fun? What would be an awesome job for me to do to get what I want? And that yet, if we think about life in terms of this, that we would live not for ourselves, but for God, we would ask different questions. Questions like, what is God doing in the world? And how can I join what he's doing? Or how can I live for that? See, it's a different question. And see, if we look at our talents and our skills and our abilities that we have in life, and if we look at them purely as something to get something for me, then we're not going to get what 2 Corinthians 5 is saying. It's the opposite. We're still living for ourselves if we think that they're all for me. See, here's what we learn about ourselves from Scripture. As we learn that God made us. I don't know if that seems like, you know, simple to you or like highly like profound. You never thought about this before, but what we learn from the Bible is that you and I, we are created, and we're created by God, and God puts some thought into this. In fact, in Psalm 139, it says, For you, that's God, created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, that's I praise God, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. In other words, he's saying, like, God made me, God kind of knit me together. He built me, created me, and he made me wonderful, or amazing, or great, or however you want to think about that. And I know for some of you, when you hear that, that's a hard thing for you to believe. Like, a lot of times we look out and we think, well, there's a lot of people in this world that God made wonderful, but we compare ourselves to them and we think, but not me. Like, he's faster, or she's smarter, or, you know, he's stronger, or she's skinnier, or whatever. Like, we look at that and we think everybody else is wonderfully made, but I don't know about me. But we find out is that God made all of us God knit us together and He made us wonderfully. And this leads us into what we're going to read tonight about our talents and skills in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Are you guys there? Because this is what Paul begins to say. He says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed, okay? So Paul, he's going to write us a little bit about what he calls spiritual gifts. These abilities or these talents or these things that we can do that are empowered by God's Holy Spirit and those of us who know Him. That what we realize, what we read from Scripture is that when you receive Jesus, when you enter into a relationship with God, Scripture says that His Holy Spirit indwells you. And so we know when we read the Bible that God is one God, but He exists in three persons. There's God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And what Paul is going to write about is he's going to write about this third person, the Holy Spirit, and what this Spirit produces in those of us who know and follow God. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant, or I want you to understand this. And so he goes on to say this, you know that when you were pagan, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And so one thing that happens when God comes into our life, when His Spirit indwells us, is things do change. Like our desire then is to please and follow God. God gives us that. He produces that in us through His Spirit. That's what it means to say Jesus is Lord. You're saying you want to follow Him. You want Him to be boss of your life. You want to live not for yourself, but for Jesus. And then he goes on to say this in verse 4, and this is when it gets helpful for us today. He says, so there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There's different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through His Spirit, and he goes to list a bunch of kind of different things that God can produce in us. And so he makes this list, and he says things like knowledge or healing or other kinds of gifts. He gives us this list. And then in verse 11, he says, and all of these are at the work of one and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So let's talk about you and I for a moment. Let's think about what Paul is saying. Let's talk about me for a second. I want everybody to look at me. I know this will be weird, but not too weird. So look at me. Okay. I just want you to think for a moment, like when you look at me, what do you see? Think about that for a moment. Anybody want to say what they see? I'm curious, what do you see? Okay, a teacher. Okay, someone who talks a lot and teaches, yeah. A sweet. This is good. Okay, yeah, what else do you see? What's that? Amazing. I love this side of the room. Okay, yeah. A man. Okay. Hey, that is awesome. She sees a man. Like, not a boy. She sees a man. One more, I'm afraid. What's that? Okay, yeah, there we go. You know, like, we could say all kinds of things. So, this is fading. This is growing. I'm older than you. Like, this is what you see. So, this is what I want you to do. So, you see things physically about me. And also about some of the things that I do. I'm a teacher. Amazing. Well, of course you would see that. Okay, so this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. I want you to, like look at somebody around you. Just look at them. Don't talk about them. Just look at them. Kind of freaky, but just stare at them. Okay. And I'm not going to have you tell them, but what do you, just think about this. What do you see? Okay. There's some things, like track with me on this, there's some things that you see physically about them. Now think about this, eyes back up here, okay? They're amazing, they're incredibly handsome or whatever, but eyes up here, Okay. So there's things that you see physically about them, but there's also, if you know the person, you know some more things about like their heart and their desires and what they do well. Now this is the hardest one. This is what I want you to do. Just imagine that I'm holding a big mirror. Okay, is this awesome? You can just picture this. I'm holding the mirror. Now this is what I want you to imagine. You're looking in the mirror at yourself. Think about this. What do you see? Okay. You're looking at you. Okay. Think about this. A lot of you do this every day. If you don't, you should. It's good. Look at yourself. Okay. And you see different things about yourself, right? How you look, again, and you know more about kind of your mind and your heart than anybody. Now here's the thing. One of the things that we see in this room, if we just look around, is we see that everybody's different, right? And I know that's not like profound and crazy, and even in Camason, Washougal, where there's not a lot of ethnic diversity, like there's still, in this room, like we look around, and everybody's different ages, different things like this, and this is what Paul is saying. I mean, one of the things that he's saying right off the bat is that God made us, and in God's design, he made us all different. In verse 4 through 5, he talks about different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working. We're different. God has made us, or the word we like to use is God has shaped us differently. We like that word shape because as we read the Bible, we find that there's many things about us that are different. And so we use the word shape. It's really cool because it stands for different things. So we all have different spiritual gifts, right? And so we have things that God, as he comes into our life, he empowers us to do them well for others. And so I get up here and I teach about the Bible. And this is something that God helps me do. It's a spiritual gift that I have. And Paul is saying, like, you all have spiritual gifts, different spiritual gifts if you know Jesus. But he also, like, we learn that we also have different, like, hearts or passions. There's things that you are excited about that is maybe a little bit different than somebody next to you. And so whether it's, like, basketball or music or people my age, like, some of them like kids and some of them, you know, don't like kids that much, or you know, some of you, like, you know, you get excited about certain, again, sports or things like that. Like, we have different passions in life, different things that make us excited. We also have different abilities. So who's good at math? Okay, just say it. Just like some of you, like, you are great at math. Okay, who loves to read? Okay, yeah, some of you guys. Okay, so who considers themselves kind of artistic, right? Okay. Who considers themselves like not artistic at all? Okay, yeah, so, you know, like, we have different abilities, right? Different just skills, things that we can do. We also have a different personality. Like, some of you are what we call extroverts, right? Like, you just talk to anybody, and you talk all the time, and your whole kind of everything is just out in the open. And some of you are what we call introverts. You're a little more reserved. Okay, you don't have to talk all the time. You don't have to be noticed all the time. Some of you have lots of friends. That's your personality. Some of you have just a few loyal friends. Okay, some of you are, like, really flexible, go with the flow, just do whatever's on your mind. Some of you are what we call type A. Right? Do you guys know what that means? Like, everything's got to be like lined up and right. And so we have different personalities. And here's a big one. We have different experiences, right? Like, we just come from different situations. Some of you grew up going to church. Some of you, your family never goes to church. Some of you have both of your parents at home. Some of you don't. Some of you don't even live with your real parents. Some of you don't know your dad at all or things like that. You know, some of you have had diseases and illnesses in your life, and some of you have never been hardly sick ever, never broke a bone or anything like this. We have different experiences, different things that we have walked through, and all of these things together make you, you. Paul's saying God, as he makes us, he makes us all different. And it's God who did this. That's what he says in verse 11, that it's God who makes us different, and God decided how you would be shaped. So when you think about your life today and how you are made, a lot of people, they're frustrated with that. Like, do you know that some of us, we look at our shape and we look at other people's shape and we're envious of them. Like, we wish we were more like that person than ourselves. And so sometimes we get frustrated at that. And so a lot of times we're frustrated with like our parents. Oh, if they weren't like this or whatever, this is why I'm like this. Or we get frustrated at other circumstances and all these kinds of things. But God says it's He who determined it. See, if you don't like how you're shaped, like, that's God's fault. Like, your conversation, your issue needs to be with God, because God made you, and He made you unique, a unique shape. Like, He thought that out. He determined it. He planned that for you. And you might say, well, why did God make me like this? Why am I different? Or things like this. And Paul answered it. He says, well, each one of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the what? The common good. See, here's why you're different. And here's why God made you the way you are. It's for others. It's for Him. It's for what is good in this world. This is why you are the way that you are. And this is what we learn again, that God made us different, and He shaped us, and He decided it, and He made it for the good of others. That you have something that nobody else can bring to this church. Like, you are shaped the way you are for the good of this group of people here, and for the good of the community that you live around. That you have talents and gifts. But it's not just for you to promote yourself or to get what you want for you, but God made you for the benefit of others and for what He is doing in this world. And when we realize this, this is such good news that God would do this. See, some of you, you try so hard. You're so afraid that you're going to be different. Like, you are so worried that you try to copy people around you. You try to look or act or do things because you're afraid of, like, what might happen if you're different. And it's so stressful and it's so frustrating. And the good news is you don't have to try to be somebody you're not. God actually wants you to be yourself. It's freeing. It's freeing in how we go through life. Like, I talk about what winning a basketball game did for me. It gave me some confidence to call a girl, get in good with her dad. I got interviewed. I felt good. Do you know how long that lasted? 3 days. You're great for 3 days, and then we played the Dalles. And we played good and lost. Right? And everything changed. And when we think just purely in terms of this, there's so much pressure. If this is for me, if this is the way for me to get what I want and what I need, there's so much pressure for us to perform right all the time and get everything that we feel like we need for our life. And this is just work and this is effort, and we get it for a few minutes or a few days and then it's gone. But if this is for others and for what God is doing in the world, then if I get to give it, this is up to God. He opened that door for me. There's no pressure there. It frees us, and it also levels the playing field for everyone. See, in our culture, we have certain talents and gifts that we value over others. And so there's many people in this world that walk through as high school students, middle school students, and they walk through thinking they have great value because they have some skills like athletics or music or drama or things that kind of elevate them in the line eyes of other people. And so they feel like they have great value. And if you're not one of those people, you feel like you have none. And that's just simply not true. Like yesterday, I took my daughter Katie to physical therapy, and we walk in, and it's a place, if you guys know my daughter Katie, her legs don't work right, and so she uses a walker. And so I walk into this place, and Katie actually, in this physical therapy place, she's like one of the most normal kids. There's some kids in there that have just severe disabilities. Like when you first go in, it's just kind of awkward. If you haven't been around kids and things like that, it's just kind of awkward, you know? And if we value certain talents and skills above others because they get us things, you know what happens for all of those kids? They have absolutely no value in this world. But you know what? That's not true at all. Like as I walk in there, as I get to know some of these kids, as I watch my daughter, these kids are amazing. You know, they do things that none of you can do. See, my daughter Katie, she does a fun run at her school, and it takes her about 25 minutes to get one time around the lap of a track. And when she finishes and celebrates, everybody is crying and thinking about what's most important in life. None of you can do that. But see, a lot of times in our culture, we value certain things over the others. And we use those things, we value them because they get us things. And then there's other people that have actually really valuable things, but they don't seem to get anything for themselves. And we just look at them as kind of like people we ignore. And maybe you're one of them, and you just feel like you have no purpose, you have no reason to be around and to be in life and to live. And if this is true, what God is saying, if you are the way you are because you have something good to give to others, then you have value. Everybody does. You have something nobody else can do. God made you that way. And so the invitation is just to simply give it. To not take it for yourself to try to get what you want out of life, but to be who you are so that you can give it for the sake of God and the life of other people. Or Peter would say it this way, each of you have whatever gift you've received, you should just use it to serve others. Like, this is the message. And this weekend, we're going to be talking a lot more about it. That is why that's such a great assignment for all of you. Because that's being a parent right there. So let me ask you guys this. We need to finish up. Let me ask you this. The first thing is, how do you view your shape? Like, do you like who you are? Do you like who God's made you to be? Are you envious of others? Or are you starting to realize there's something amazing about me that God has made that nobody else has? How do you view your shape? And do you think about it as something for you to get what you want out of life? Or as something to give? That's a whole lot different. And the second question is one that I want you to think about. Because at Career Day this weekend, we're going to wrestle with this more. But would you be willing to dedicate yourself to giving who you are to others? Would you just decide today? Like as I grow up with the careers that I'm going to pick, with the things that I'm interested in, am I going to think about who God has made me to be and how I can use it for others, or I'm just going to look at it as something to gain things for myself? What are you going to dedicate your life to? I think these are great questions for us to think about. And this weekend, we're going to wrestle with them a lot more. But here's what we're going to do tonight to finish up. A lot of times when we finish up, like we finish by singing a song, or I have you guys write your thoughts and kind of ponder them a little bit, and I think that's really helpful. But tonight, I just want to take a few minutes to pray together. Because we have a lot more to talk about this weekend, and I hope you're going to come to Career Day. And we're going to continue with this. And so I just want you to take time to do two things. I want you to take a few minutes to pray for this weekend, that God would use it in our lives and it would be fun and people would come, all that kind of stuff. And secondly, that you would thank God for how he's made you, or maybe how he's made somebody else in this youth group. Like, I thank God when I look at, like, Nick and Chris and Jake and Austin up here. Like, I thank God that he has made them the way that they are, because I love what they bring. So would you take a little bit of time to do that? Would you thank God for how he's made all of us? So what I want you to do is I want you to go quietly and quickly to your mentor groups again. And then mentors, you can lead into a prayer time just of those two things. And then I'll close this in a few minutes. Ready, go. When you get in your groups, you can just start praying. Lord Jesus, I just love this room and all the people here. And I can just sit up here and I just see the different people. I just want to thank you for this group that you've brought together and who they are and the things they do with their friends. I want to thank you for the youth staff. God, they're amazing. They're so creative. They work so hard. They love being with these students. And again, I want to thank you for the guys in the band. I want to thank you for guys like Kyle and Bogue and Bill, who sit in the back and do all the sound stuff. And God, we just thank you for your creativity. Thank you for making every one of us. And God, this weekend, as we come together Friday and Saturday, just lead this time. Encourage us. Give us perspective and hope. Challenge our hearts, God. Help us to be open to where you are.